Hi, this is John Barber from IDW Publishing. You are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic reading crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, IDW, Boom Studios, Xenoscope, and more, we have everything you want to read right here. Transformers comics? Yeah, we cover that. He-Man? Yeah, sure. DC superheroes like Batman, Batgirl, Nightwing, and Batman Beyond? Yep, we have those too. How about TMNT from IDW and I Hate Fairyland from Image Comics? Yeah, we have all that here. Plus, so much more. It's all inside the pullback here on the GeekCast Radio Network. So without any further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we are reading right now here inside the pullback.
Orion Pax is one of us.
You've just transformed and transcended with us here on All Things Transformers, which is jumping inside the pull bag. That's right, folks. It's an ATTF TPB crossover episode. I am TFG1 Mike. Joining me, as always, Steve Megatron.
Hello.
Hello. First up, we have the All Things Transformers aspect of this episode, as it is a crossover, and we're going to talk about and give you our opinions on some news that has been out there in the ether. Actually, something that just got announced, I believe, as of this recording, November 17th, 2020. But the other one has kind of been out there. I think we talked about it in the last episode of ATTF. Actually, the episode before the last episode, because the last episode was the origins of John and Maggie Schaefer Hames from Married with Comics and the Rod Pod. Hope you guys enjoyed that. First up, Transformers War for Cybertron Kingdom Beast Wars Megatron. We have more in-hand images of this figure.
And he looks pretty spectacular, considering we've had the 10th anniversary figure, which kind of didn't really look like... I mean, it looked better, but it was still like a retool of the 96 version. Mm-hmm. And this, infinitely, not only in color, but in stylistic design... embodies the animated model much nicer than anything we've gotten previously.
Right.
At an affordable price point. The only thing that I've noticed with him, he does have a few things that are kind of, you know, not really spot on color-wise or missing a couple of details, but I've noticed that they've kind of gone away from the rounded arms and legs and torsos, and they've kind of gotten the blocky thing back.
Mm.
Because if you notice, they kind of switched to that around the time of Transformers Energon and Transformers Cybertron. Mm-hmm. They started getting into these weird, the way that it rotates, the way that it moves, it's more of a solid, like, clunky piece. So, like, his thighs and his hips and his... upper arms are more of that blocky thing that the those figures had.
Yeah.
Not saying that that's bad. I just I notice it a little bit more. Like it's more noticeable. Like you get kind of that blanketed cookie cutter design as far as that.
Yep.
But overall, like it's not bad. And this link on AllSpark, they have a comparison side by side with, for instance, the War for Cybertron Megatron G1, and he's taller, mm-hmm. significantly.
Yep.
And I like this. I like the War for Cybertron Megatron. It's not bad. He's about a head shorter than Grimlock. And then they show him in various poses. And then finally, they put him side by side with Masterpiece Megatron. Mm. And of course, Masterpiece Megatron, like the pieces, everything when it transforms is identical to the Cell model. To a T. Like it's spot on.
Yeah.
Not only in color and in shading and in positions of the Robo Kibble, it's exact. So there are some differences between. The Kingdom and the Masterpiece, and the first thing is the Kingdom is about the same size as Primal Masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some color variation differences. There's a couple things on like the hip and the torso that are a little bit different. The dino head's a little bit different shape-wise, and some of the Robo Kibble behind the head. But, I mean, overall, it's not bad for a $60 figure because you're getting a good percentage of the detail that was missing from that old 90s figure and the 10th anniversary figure.
Right.
So I honestly don't have a problem with this. It just putting them side by side, though, shows me how inferior it is to the Masterpiece. But it also, like, they should have done, like, a side-by-side with the Masterpiece, the Kingdom, and then the 96 and the 10th anniversary, just to kind of give you that extra taste of, you know, what it compares with.
Right.
But I will say that I do like the fact that the Kingdom figure, like, the mouth opens up more. It's got more of a blaster piece in it. The tail, he can actually let go of the tail, so he can use his arm, kind of like in the show or the Masterpiece. I did notice in one of the bendable things, and I don't know if this is like the final production model or if this is just because who shall not be named, who gets figures early for some reason. There's a piece of Megatron's knees, and they're white.
Right.
Like, they're blaringly, like, obvious that they don't belong in the color palette.
Right, right, yeah.
So I'm hoping that that's corrected in the final thing. And I've seen variations of this figure, too, on some different galleries where the face is red instead of purple. And part of it, but it could be just, like, a production model. It could be bad coloring. It depends. But he's got more of a pinkish purple on this Megatron as opposed to the Masterpiece, which is, like, deep purple.
Yeah.
So, but overall, I'm very excited about this because as much as I would love to have the Masterpiece, $300 is a bit steep. So $60 for a runner-up with the Kingdom figure is definitely more in the affordable price range.
Yep.
For me to obtain him, and so I will more than likely be picking him up.
Yeah, cool. Very cool. Yeah, he looks great. You're talking about the positioning of the body and the blocky versus the aesthetics of it. Some of these pictures on the AllSpark news link, which will be in the show notes. It makes me think of they're not going to call him this, but it makes me think of they're going to call him Blast Punch Megatron, because if you look at the picture where it's the one right under, it's the second one right under the Masterpiece comparison, where his top of his torso is kind of turned a little bit, I'm like, ooh, it's got torso twisting action, so like if you wind it up like the old Blast Punch Optimus Prime thing, Optimus Primal, I should say. You know, I'm like, ooh, action feature. That's probably not the case, but that's just me and my brain and how I react to it. We also have coming out, and I'm not sure when that figure's supposed to be out.
The Megatron?
Yeah.
The consensus of the Beast Wars or the Transformers War for Cybertron Kingdom figures is somewhere between January and March.
Oh, okay. So first quarter.
Yeah, first quarter, he'll be out. I suspect that this will be hard to find in the store because I have yet to see a Megatron hit the store. I see Optimus Primes all over the place in, like, Earth Wars Optimus Prime. I see Starscream. I see, like, Grapple and Hound and Sideswipe and all these other ones. But I don't see a lot of the, like, you know, I don't see Soundwave. I don't see, you know, so I'm pretty sure it's, like, at the store, the scalpers kind of are like, yoink, or stores just don't order enough because majority of the things that they still have on the shelves that are shelf warmers are the movie stuff, which hasn't been relevant in years. Like, they're still selling, like, Fall of Cybertron Masterpiece. It's like, nobody cares. It's,
yeah.
So that, and they have Cyberverse, which both of those seem to be shelf warmers. The War for Cybertron trilogy seems to fly off the shelves.
Yep. I'm just trying to see here if... aha! Okay. So, what you need to do is you need to forget trying to... you, specifically, Steve Megatron, need to forget trying to find this in a store.
Wasn't planning on it.
I understand that. go over to our friends who are not paying us for this promo. At BigBadToyStore.com, you can pre-order Kingdom Megatron for $52.99.
Ah, it's $10 cheaper.
Yay, there you go. I'm saving you money, and I'm saving you wrath of your wife. Anyway, up next, we have, as I said earlier, just announced today, November 17th, 2020, from the Transformers and other people. I actually first saw it on Benson Yee's Transformers page, and then Team Bottomus, Optibottomus, shared it, and I'm now on the Transformers official Facebook page. Again, this link will be in the show notes. The Transformers Collaborative presents the next exciting mashup. The iconic X-Jet from the X-Men animated series is now a Transformers robot called Ultimate X-Pants. Unlike the Sentinels, this robot is the ultimate mutant ally. Pre-order now at various places. You can go to local GameStop or Hasbro Pulse as of March 1st, so somewhere around March. So the Ultimate X-Pants is a, from what I've seen from people commenting on this post and other posts, it's a repurposing of the Studio Series Jetfire figure, and does it look really, really cool?
Yeah.
I mean, it looks...
I'm not a fan of the crossover stuff. Like, unless it was like the G.I. Joe Transformers, which they've never done.
Yeah.
That's when I would probably get more excited about it. Like, if they were producing things from the comics.
Yeah. Yeah, and I see where you're coming from, but this is basically like if anyone ever watched the '90s X-Men Marvel cartoon series, the famous one, X-Men the Animated Series, not that they're all not famous, but looking at the SR-71 jet and looking at this toy, it's like, oh, that is so cool. They repurposed it, and the head of the figure actually kind of looks like Cyclops because he has the visor and everything else, and I don't know. I think it's a cool way. I don't mind these new... I would rather have what they're doing now with the Hasbro crossovers, like the Gigawatt and the Ectotron and this new Expanse figure. I'd rather have those than the old Hasbro Marvel crossover toys. Like, I think Michael Wilson sent me a Millennium Falcon that was supposed to be a crossover. Like, those old crossovers years and years ago. These look so much better than those. All right, folks. Now for the pullbag portion of the show, we're going to take a quick break, come back after this with IDW Publishing's Transformers Volume 1, The World in Your Eyes.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk.
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car. Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
All right, folks, we are back, and we are talking about IDW Publishing's bold new era of Transformers. So, for those that don't know, from 2005 until 2019, IDW Phase 2 happened, and that was 13 years of pretty awesome Transformers comics, and we covered it all here inside the pullbag with Ryan, the Uneven Flow Merkley. I had absolute blast doing this with Ryan and other people, Lady Wreck, Beatles Diva, my buddy Ender. We all kind of came together and reviewed various versions of, or various series that IDW has done. Well, last year, when they decided to end that universe, they brought Unicron in, and it was the end. It was a finality of whatever. IDW still has the Transformers license for comics, so they're going to start something new. And that's where this comes in. And this is my first time reading this. I was waiting for the trades. I had not read the single issues beforehand or anything like that. And I know you said you felt a little lost with this.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel, like, did you... What were your initial...
I don't think I realized it was a complete reboot.
Okay.
When I was sitting down to read it. And so I was a little confused at what direction it was going. And then there were all these characters that I'm totally unfamiliar with.
Yeah.
Because I've not really read any of the IDW comics to this point. Because I've mostly been a guy that's read the old Marvel stuff and the old Beast Wars stuff and then the Dreamwave stuff. So I've not really read any... I think I read the Transformers comics when they first got picked up by IDW.
Uh-huh.
Like around the time of the Spotlights and then Issue 0 and 1 and a few of those. And then I just kind of like tapered off. Like
right.
it started going in directions that I just was... there were too many directions going on. And so I just kind of fell off the map.
Yeah. Well, I think with this, like we already reviewed the first arc of the Galaxies, which sadly Galaxies is going away now. But the Galaxies run, which is Tyler Blazinski and Olivia Remedeli's run, Constructicons Rising. And, you know, those are kind of like one-shot kind of stories that kind of eventually will bring into this. And then this is a whole new universe written by Brian Ruckley. We have basically... And I was kind of shocked. I thought it was a misprint by Comixology, but when this was solicited, when the Volume 1, the trade paperback here, was solicited, it said Volume 1 is going to contain the first 12 issues of the series. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, the last time I read a 12-issue a 12-issue trade paperback was Welcome Back, Frank, from Marvel. And I've said on this podcast before, that on the pullback, that that was a physical... copy of that book from Marvel, and that is what basically sent me to digital, because I fell asleep holding the thing. Not because of the content of the book, but because the book was so heavy, my hand fell asleep, I fell asleep, the book falling to the floor woke me up, and I'm like, Comixology saved me. And they have, obviously. So Brian Ruckley is the writer on this. We have four arcs here. The World in Your Eyes... the art is done by Angel Hernandez and Kachet Whitman. Additional art done by Sarah Peter Doroche, Andrew Griffith, and Anna Malkova. Colors done by Joanna LaFuente. Additional colors by Josh Burcham. Yay, Josh Burcham! Love Joanna as well. And I know Sarah. Sarah did some art on the previous incarnation of IDW Transformers. The rest of these artists are new to me. Orion Pack's Free Fall was issue 6, I believe. Beth McGuire Smith is on the art for that. The Cracks Beneath Your Feet is the second part in this. Again, Angel Hernandez, Andrew Griffith, Anna Malkova, and Beth McGuire Smith on art. Joanna LaFuente and Josh Burcham on cover on colors. And then Nautica Home was done by Sarah Peter DeRoche and Joanna LaFuente. So the first 6 issues of this trade paperback, as I said, is The World in Your Eyes, and then the Optimus Prime Free Fall. I think this is cool. I think this is interesting what they're doing here. They're showing us a character we know in Bumblebee. Whether we know what Bumblebee's going to be like in this universe, in this new universe, is up to whatever once we read the story more. But the fact that he's a mentor to this younger... like Bumblebee has always been the little bot. Bumblebee has always been the youngest bot. Well, now there's a bot who's younger, and his name is Rubble. Not Rumble. He's not blue. Well, he is blue. He's not blue.
He's Barney Rubble.
Barney Rubble. That's funny. Flintstones Transformers crossovers. Anyway.
That could be interesting.
I guess you could have Ratchet as the Flintstone Mobile. I don't know. Anyway, that would be strange. So the story for this is basically introducing Rubble, the new character, into this new universe. We also have Optimus Prime and Megatron, which I absolutely love this. And I think as we go along with this, I don't want to make it political, but I have to say, as I see more of Megatron in this series, I'm like, Is Brian Ruckley trying to say Megatron is a certain... he's not, but orange-ish person, and maybe that's just...
I think that they're kind of playing with, like, the political atmosphere we find ourselves in right now.
Right.
But I don't think that it's necessarily paralleling to the T what we have going on.
Yeah. But it's just later in the story, it's like, oh, Optimus is completely on this side, and Megatron is completely on this side, and the way Megatron sees it is that, you know, the Autobots are these overlord kind of, and he wants revolution, and I'm all fine for Megatron being a revolutionary.
But he's also trying to do it in a way that is not harmful, at least initially.
Yeah, at least initially.
At least initially, and the thing is that Shockwave is kind of the tormentor behind the scenes. Like, he's like, well, you're you know, I'm a ends to a mean, and Megatron's kind of like, no, you know. Because he's at least trying to do it the proper way.
Yeah.
Is because he's working with Orion Pax throughout the entire trade.
Yep. And what I like about this first arc, The World in Your Eyes, is basically the title is on the nose for the trade. For the story arc in the trade is The World in Your Eyes. No matter what character we're looking at, it's the world through Optimus Prime's eye. Or actually, Orion Pax, I need to say, because he is Orion Pax. He is not Optimus Prime. And Sentinel Prime is actually the ruler of Cyber, leader, ruler, whatever you want to say, of Cybertron.
I do find it weird that they never actually have Prime as the Orion Pax that we see in the G1 cartoon.
Yeah.
They always have him just look exactly the same. They're like, he's Orion Pax. And it's like, he looks like Optimus, though.
Yeah, he does. But at the same time, it's like, you need a face. Like, you know, if you're, like... Okay, so if you go back to the very first page of the comic where it's, you know, the cover, the main cover of the first issue, and it's like, oh, Optimus and Megatron. You see that on a comic book store shelf, and you're like, oh, Optimus and Megatron, I'm going to pick that up. So that's kind of a thing. Even though the thing I notice and the thing that I love that they're doing with this is the Decepticons are not a thing as of yet. They're not.
And, no, I know.
But the Autobots are.
Yeah, which, yeah. That was another thing that threw me when I got into it. I'm like, who are these Decepticons? I'm like, they're Decepticons. Like, why are they... It wasn't making sense to me either on that front. So, like, I got it once they finally flipped the switch on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the reference with the logo, you know, upside down.
Yeah. I thought that was really cool.
Well, I thought it was cool in how they had it. And then they had it, one, I think it was Barricade or something. He basically had the Decepticon symbol as his face.
Yep.
And so it was, I don't know, in a lot of ways it was kind of interesting on how they played around with it graphically and story-wise to make it kind of fit. And they made it almost sympathetic that, you know, you want Megatron's regime to kind of go through, mm-hmm. and you kind of feel it until he's like, ah, screw it, let's go Decepticon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I mean, like, you can kind of see both sides of their struggle, and they're both trying to do it the correct way, but, you know, Megatron's kind of tired with the waiting game that the Autobots keep playing, and you know,
yeah.
It almost paints the Autobots as the bad guys in a sense.
Yeah, and that's the way that the Decepticons and the Rise see them. So we have three factions here, folks. We have the Autobots, we have the Decepticons, which is Megatron, Soundwave, and them, and then we have these people called the Rise. And the Decepticons, not the Rise, I believe, because that happens later. Like, it's revealed. And I was surprised that it got revealed that Megatron was kind of behind all of that. Or Shockwave was, but anyway. I love the colors in this. I love the art. The art is really cool. What are some of the characters, besides Rubble, because Rubble was a new character to everybody. What are some of the characters that you mentioned that you didn't really know?
Well, that's the point. I don't really remember the names because I don't really know who they are. So it was a lot of those instances. Like, just I saw random characters I'd not been familiarized with before, and so it was some of that. It wasn't like my level of knowledge with Transformers G1 is everything I saw from season 1 to season 4. Like, I don't know anybody else that shows up. Like, when they're in there. I mean, I know who Wingblade is, and I don't really care per se for the character, but
I've seen Wingblade in multiple cartoons at this point.
And yeah, I've gotten used to her just in other programs. So I mean, that doesn't bother me either. But there's some other like obscure ones that I see come up, and it's just. I'm not familiar with them, so it's that's more so what it is.
Now, did reading this make you want to learn more about them?
About the characters I know nothing about?
Yes.
No.
Really?
No. And I'll tell you why. I think if I'd been reading this in smaller doses, I think I would have been more interested, but I felt like there was a lot of dialogue. I get it, but I felt like there was a lot of dialogue, and I don't know if it was because like part of it was fighting, part of it was politics, and I'm kind of politicked out.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand and I appreciate the story for what it was doing and kind of explaining some of the backstory of why Megatron and Optimus had this colossal split, pre-battle to leave Cybertron.
Yeah.
Because we really don't get a lot of that. I mean, we've had various iterations. We've had the War Within comics back in the day. We've had a couple of different origin stories. But, I mean, this is... Even the War for Cybertron animated series doesn't really touch on it. I mean, it does... And it kind of parallels in some ways because, like, Bumblebee's not an Autobot. He's kind of a loner.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I kind of see, you know, parallels between the two. But on a whole, I understood and I enjoyed it. But I felt like it was, as Marty McFly would say, this is heavy.
So basically... Also, as Marty McFly would say, I guess you guys aren't ready for that just yet.
Yeah.
For me,
so like, but graphically, this was beautiful.
Yes, it is
through and through. Like, there was nothing I had to complain about as far as any of that. I did find it interesting that Cyclonus is a part of the starting crew there,
mm-hmm.
and not is he like a carryover from when Unicron decimated the universe and reset it,
Cyclonus in the original, I don't want to say original, but in the previous universe, he was non-faction, essentially. Like, he was a Decepticon in his past, but then he gave it up, and he, in the other universe, in the Phase 2 books that they call, as they're called, for IDW... He was on the Lost Light. He was more in line with the Autobots. He didn't want to fight anymore. He was done fighting. So that's kind of the thing here with him, I think. I don't know if it's the exact same character from the previous universe, but it's the same kind of character traits that he doesn't really want to fight anymore. He just wants to be left alone kind of thing. What I dug about this is, and we get... Cartoons don't give you enough time because cartoons don't have enough time to do these kinds of things that the comics can do. I loved all of the issue where it's Megatron and Optimus talking to each other and going over these memories of them and how they, like, the explanation of the split and how they split. Issue 6, Freefall, was really, really well done, I thought. And I thought it gave us more insight to Optimus... Orion and Megatron here setting up where they end up being divided, and I thought that was great. With this being a 12-issue trade paperback, issue 6 and issue 12 are kind of like the rest easy moments. I'm more okay with issue 6 than I am with issue 12, because issue 12 takes place before issue 10. It's like a flashback issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily like... I wish that part of the story was told in story order, not as a flat... Like, if you're going to have those events happen, have them happen more linear than just do it as a flashback, because... By the end of this trade, I was all taken out of it. Like, issues 1 to 11, great, fine, absolutely. I get everything. I understand everything. I understand where Bumblebee's coming from. I understand where Cyclonus, where Orion, Megatron, even Soundwave. I get it. But that whole flashback issue just kind of took me out of it.
Yeah.
I'm still interested, though, and I still want to read more of this because it's Transformers comics and I enjoy the story that they're telling. Like, this is like the way to a new future, and I really enjoy Brian's writing, Brian Ruckley. I've never read anything he's done before. I can't even begin to look him up right now, and maybe I'll do that for our next comic episode if you're still interested in doing these.
I mean, I'm still interested in checking out what's going on.
Yeah.
Because now he's announced the Decepticons.
Yeah. So
yeah. Therefore I'm interested in finding out where they go from here and how people switch sides and pick sides out of the two. It's more so in that realm. I'm like I said, again, like, I'm more of a, obviously, a Beast Wars fan than a G1 fan. So when the Beast Wars comics come out, I'm going to be heavily involved with that.
Whereas, oh, yeah, we will definitely be covering that Beast Wars miniseries here inside the pullbag and obviously on all things Transformers.
But, yeah, as far as G1's concerned, like, I mean, I kind of know where it's going to go. Because, yeah. I mean, they typically go in the same direction every time, and... it's just they add variations or expound upon things as they go.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So what I'm loving here, and I'm actually looking on Comic Vine, and again, Comic Vine, well, whatever. Just go to comicvine.com and search Transformers, folks, and it'll pop up IDW Publishing 2019. So they list all of the issues that are up to current, so they have 24 issues. I love how they break down without actually looking at the issues, like the titles for each one. So, like, issue 11 was The Cracks Beneath Your Feet, Part 5. Issues 1 to 6, issues 1 to 5 were The World in Your Eyes. Issue 6 was Orion Pax Free Fall. And then, as we go further, once we get Volume 2 and Volume 3, again... It's one of those things where, oh, interesting. Like, they have this thing. Like, issue 12 was a Nautica issue. It was that flashback issue I mentioned. Issue 13 starts with The Change in Your Nature Part 1 and ends at issue 17 with Change in Your Nature Part 5. Issue 18 is RC and Green Light Run. So this is what I'm loving about this setup. You have a 5-issue arc of a story, and then you have this breather. But it still brings every... Like, the whole Orion and Megatron issue 6. That was, like... I took a breath as I was reading that because it didn't feel like it was one long, continuous arc, even though it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, obviously, with issue 19, we get Rise of the Decepticons... And that goes through to issue 23. So, and then issue 24 says Wheeljack Orbital Decay. So I'm very interested for us to continue on with this. I very much am looking forward to more Brian Ruckley and these artists, man. Oh, man. Like, I'd have to go back to the page to get their names. But, like, the artists that are working on this book, because I'm new to them... I think they get, like, Sideswipe looks like G1 Sideswipe a little bit. Obviously, Megatron looks like Megatron. Orion looks like Orion, even though he looks more like Optimus. But I'm actually glad that even though they're calling him Orion, he still looks like Optimus, because, again, as I mentioned earlier, it's a thing of someone like you who has only known a certain part of it. Like, if somebody only had known G1, you see Optimus without a faceplate, you're like, okay, who's that? And that's the thing. Like, would I, as a longtime diehard Transformers fan, as someone who has kind of embraced all of the United States, the Americanized versions of the characters, would I have been mad if Optimus, Orion as Optimus, blah, 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 if Orion didn't have a faceplate in this? No, because I know in the original G1 cartoon, Orion never had a faceplate.
No.
But I get it. And I think it's really good that he does, because it's more of a visual thing of, oh, you see where this is going. Now, we don't see whether he's going to die in this series and be reborn as Optimus, or how that's going to happen. I have not read ahead yet, because as of this recording, the IDW books have not gone on sale, and Volume 2 is $20. And I don't have $20 right now. If anyone wants to donate, tfgandmike@gmail.com. Boy, that was a mouthful. And what I love about getting the trade paperback is at the back of it, you get all the, and you get the variant covers during the end of each of the issues, and I love those too. But you get all these variant covers, and they're so cool, and so many different artists. Like, what I love about the variant covers is, for this specific run, and I don't know if they've done this with the Volume 2 and Volume 3, they have posters for visiting Cybertron. I thought that was hilariously good.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. I didn't catch that initially, but yeah, I mean, that's pretty funny, actually.
Yeah. So as we get to the back of this, and I know we said we were going to do issue 1 to 6 and issue 7 to 12, but honestly, folks, I think we've talked about it. And we haven't really spoiled it, and maybe we'll spoil the next one a little more. But looking through these covers, like, Cybertron, Daily Departures. You know, this is done by... it's a Primus Air thing. It's, I can't see who the artist is. Oh, it's up there at the top. Sorry, folks. This is how podcasting really works. In the moment, the art is done by Jeffrey... Verage? I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name, Jeffrey. But it's like an airline poster kind of thing. And then the next one is Welcome to Iacon, also done by the same artist. And then he also did Take the Sky Bridge Today. And again, it's like, I'm really digging this guy's art on these posters. And then the last one he did was Visit the Scenic Cybertronian Mountains, and these all look... Oh, you got one more. Cybertron War Memorial. They look so good. Just so good. I'm really loving the art. It's so fun. It's so interesting. It's so cool. And there's plenty of other variant covers as well for these. Like, there's a War for Cybertron-looking Optimus and Soundwave cover, and there's even an old G1 cover done by Adam Riches, which basically it's G1 Optimus and G1 Megatron fighting each other on the old G1 background kind of thing. Very, very, very cool. Very interesting. Now, what would you rate this if you had to rate it 0 to 5 stars overall?
Because I really don't have any, like, nitpicks, per se. Like, right. I'm just, in general, just nitpicky on stuff sometimes without a, like, legitimate reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll probably say a 4, just because, like, I would give it higher, except I just have my own stumbling blocks.
Right.
But it's nothing against the issue itself.
Right. I'm going to give it... I'm in between a 3.5 and a 4 overall. Maybe if I was, as you said, maybe if we had done this slower, you know, dose by dose, maybe if we had done an episode for the first 5 issues kind of thing. But here's the thing, folks. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to have either one of us dragging out like, oh, we need to review the first 5 issues and do that. And like, I liked us talking about the whole thing as a whole, because I want the story as a whole. A friend of mine, at least I hope I can call him a friend of mine, Jeremy Dennis, who is one of the hosts over at Transmissions Podcast, the Transmissions Transformers Podcast with Charles Shelton, Big C Charles Shelton, and Daryl and others. He actually commented when I posted about that I was reading this. When I posted about this on Facebook, he says, I haven't gone back and read the early arcs again, but I've heard the pacing issues that plagued the issue-by-issue reading aren't as evident in the trade. And I don't know. I can't compare it. But I have to say that the way I read this, even though it took me a while, because it's 12 issues in one trade paperback versus like 5 or 6 in one, I didn't have any problem with the pacing of the comic. I didn't have any problem of going from issue to issue. Like, I felt like I was on a cliffhanger every end of every issue. Like, The World in Your Eyes, 5 parts. At the end of each part, I'm like, oh, cool, oh, wow, okay. And then you get a cover, and then you get the next cover for the next issue, and then you jump into it. And I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I did not have to wait for this monthly, because it would drive me insane.
It would drive you insane, except for the fact that you'd actually have time to comprehend things.
True. Very true. And like I said, folks, we will be covering more of this series. I don't know exactly when. I do know that coming up here inside the pull bag, I've got Joe Reed. I'm basically dangling his head under a bowl of turtle soup, because we're going to be covering the rest of, at least through issue 100, of the IDW Publishing TMNT books, and that's going to be taking us all the way through January of 2021. On the slate, I have us to do, potentially, if I need to change this, fine. Episode 397 and 398 of the pullback will be Volume 2 and Volume 3 of this series. So Volume 2 is The Change in Your Nature, and Volume 3 is All Fall Down. As of this recording, Volume 2 is out now. According to Comixology, here is the description for Transformers Volume 2, The Change in Their Nature. A bold new era dawns in this fresh vision of the Transformers universe that will excite longtime fans and new readers alike. Orion Pax, Chromia, and security operations have almost cracked the case of the Rise terrorists who killed Brainstorm and Rubble. But they aren't the only ones worried about the Rise, and with a bolder Ascenticon faction behind them, Megatron, Starscream, and Soundwave seek to save Cybertron from all threats, the Rise, the Nominous Edict, and the Autobots. This collects Transformers 13 to 18 and Transformers Galaxies number 1 through 6. I'm going to be interested to see how Galaxies 1 through 6 is slotted into this, even though I have not hit the buy button on this yet, even though I can. Although I don't have the money for it, but like, it's going to be interesting to see how they weave Galaxies into the main story with the trade collection. And then Volume 3, All Fall Down. The bold new vision of the Transformers universe that will excite long time. Crisis! The tether holding Cybertron's inner moon to the planet has fallen, and hundreds of lives have been lost. As the rubble is sorted, no pun intended, the Ascenticons are on the move, hoping to leverage the situation and the lives lost in their favor. Meanwhile, the Rise, now under Megatron's command, attempt to hide some of their most vicious members. But putting a bunch of killers in a single transport is never a good idea. Plus, in response to the crisis at home, the revisionist faction has fled Cybertron, and the teachings of their leader have convinced them that the only way to return is to trigger Cybertron's rebirth. But when the decision comes to Gage, the youngest Cybertronian, will she spare the planet and far away from Cybertron, Ultra Magnus has his own problems, namely a group of sinister mercenaries on the hunt for Cybertronian artifacts. This collects issues 19 to 24 of the Transformers ongoing, and Transformers Galaxies issues 7 through 12. That's a lot, folks.
Yep.
And I can already tell you right now, folks, we are only, when we get to these, we are only covering in one episode for these trade paperbacks the actual issue. Like, I love that they're collecting the Galaxies run in Volume 2 and Volume 3, but we will do those, I will do those as separate individual issue episodes, not, I will do the Galaxies series as its own thing, because that's just way too much at once. Way too much at once. So, anything else you want to bring up? Is there anything you've found or anything other that's going on with Transformers that you want to talk about before we get the heck out of here?
I don't think so.
You don't think so. Okay. All right. Well, we thank you, as always, for joining us here on All Things Transformers and Inside the Pullbag. New episodes will be coming to ATTF at some point. We just released two new episodes, the episode before this and then this one, obviously. The Pullbag, as I mentioned before, has Turtles stuff coming up in it and all of that. So make your great escape into comics, transform and transcend, and we will catch you next time here inside the Pullbag on All Things Transformers.
Don't you remember, old friend?
Hey, everybody, this is Dan Gilbazan, voice of G1 Bumblebee, and you're listening to All Things Transformers.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @ThePullBag and @GeekCastRadio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.
I love when a plan comes together.